Your Locked On NHL, your daily podcast on the National Hockey League. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the Thursday edition of the Locked On NHL podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I am your host, Chris Maselli, with the Locked On Avalanche podcast. With me, as always, on this Thursday edition from the Locked On Lightning podcast, Mr. Adam Denker. Adam, what's going on, my friend?
What's up, Chris? Just battling a little bit of a cold, as I told you.
A little under the weather.
Oh,
yes. There's no mixtape this week.
No mixtape.
No. No. And the weather's not helping. We live kind of in the same area. And I think I toned down a little bit outside my window here. But, man, I think this is hurricane number. And we don't get them a lot up here. And not that this is a hurricane, but the remnants of hurricanes we don't get in our area all that much.
Well, it's an absolute pond out in the street where I am. So, not looking good right now.
Right. Well, then why not talk about some hockey when the rest of the day has just gone to crap? So we will get to kind of some things that we did on our shows. Had some really good guests on our individual shows this week. We'll talk about that. We will talk about the remaining free agents. There are still some big names out there. Why haven't they been signed? Will they get signed? And kind of not really an update, but just talking about offer sheets and the big news with the Kotkaniemi offer sheets. And that, not, you know, we'll get into it, but just offer sheets in general. Does this affect offer sheets at all? So we'll get that a little bit later. But we are going to start with, like I said, you had a very good player interview this week, and you have some more lined up too, man. So you've been getting some Lightning players on your show. The last one you had was Colton, right? Ross Colton?
Yeah, I got Ross Colton this week.
How'd that go?
It was great, man. It was funny. I was talking to someone about it I think I was actually talking to you. Where
probably
I had Kenny Albert on previously, and I actually said that I think I was more nervous to have Kenny Albert on before I spoke to him than Ross. Like, Ross is just cool dude. I mean, at the end of the day, like, anybody that's aspiring to host a podcast and interview athletes and all that, just remember they're people like you and I. So they're just looking for a cool, you know, interesting 30-minute, 40-minute conversation, whatever it is. And Ross was a great conversation, and he was just walking me through everything that's gone on over the past year up at the NHL level, as well as how he's preparing going into the season, where really this is going to be his first full NHL season.
How old is he?
He's going to be 25 next week.
Oh, well, I didn't think he was that old. Yeah. I thought he was younger than that. Wow. Yeah. Okay. All right. And you kind of talked about what he has done with the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, we were just going, you know, he was actually one of the first ones to get the cup on the team, obviously. I think it had to do with the fact that he scored the game-winning goal in game 5. And, you know, it was pretty low-key. He told me he was just going to the Jersey Shore with it, him being a Jersey native, going on the golf course with it. And he also talked about the impact that guys like Cooch, Stammer, and Hedman and Vasilevskiy have on him in the locker room as well as on the ice. So anybody that's interested to listen to that, go ahead and listen to it. And you had Butchimane on your show.
Yeah, good old John Buchagross. I mean, just it's cool just because I've been watching that guy since, you know, I was a teenager. But, you know, I wanted him to jump on the show with, obviously, ESPN getting the NHL back. We talked about that specifically for a little while. And, you know, I kind of asked him point blank, like, what's the plan for ESPN to kind of get more eyes on the sport? And he kind of gave like an answer, just like, I don't know. You know, we don't really need to do anything outside of the realm of what we typically do. He said the thing with NBC was, you know, you don't walk into a hotel or, you know, a sports bar and NBC Sports is immediately on any of those TVs unless there's a game being played.
Yeah.
You know, ESPN is just pasted on televisions, no matter where you go, airports, hotel lobbies, you know, and he's true. That's a true statement. So, and he's like, on top of that, you never knew, you know, most of the time the games were on NBC Sports, but sometimes they were on USA Network. Sometimes they were on CNBC.
Yeah.
And he's like, there was just no consistency. So, you know, if you were a diehard NHL fan, you know where to go. You'll find it. But, you know, the people kind of just flipping through who say like, oh, you know, a Ranger game is on tonight, or maybe it's a bad example because they're always on MSG, but you know what I mean? But like anybody that's going to be on nationally televised game, sometimes it is on your regular NBC station. So in that aspect, he had a very good point. Just the fact that it's just going to be, you know, what stations ESPN is on. And I kind of asked him, you know, is it going to be divisive? Because here's where my hang up is. And first of all, I love the people who are going to be covering the NHL at ESPN. That's not the issue for me. And guys like Buchagross are awesome, and Linda Cohn and all that, like those guys are great at covering the sport. I'm interested to see where it's going to go with everything else. How are they going to treat it? And we've already seen it with Stephen A. Smith. I just feel like he's kind of like making a mockery of it. I don't like that stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, I said, it's the ultimate team sport, and the NHL, yeah, they promote their individuals, but not as well as other sports. Is ESPN going to have a hand in that? And he's like, well, you know, yeah, well, go ahead.
Yeah. Like that's one of the things that I'm interested too about is, and cause we haven't really seen anything that is, really pointed out that ESPN is serious about this yet. I made a comment in our Locked On host chat, I think a couple of weeks ago when I watched ESPN or SportsCenter. And they had like a 2.5 second clip of hockey in the opening intro. So maybe they're just kind of, I'm being cautiously optimistic when I say this, but I think they're just going to play it by ear and see how things go with coverage. They're not going to go their stereotypical route and say, all right, let's blow up, you know, Crosby and Ovechkin and have those guys. Obviously I think they're well aware by now that those guys are kind of on the tail ends of their careers, but they're not going to jump in and say, all right, let's blow up, you know, McKinnon and McDavid right away. Let's see who else we could grab and kind of grow things from there. That's just how I look at it. But it is a little concerning that you have someone who's going to be part of that process, not really knowing what direction they're going to go in.
Well, he said, you know, they are, you know, as we speak, trying, they're still working with the NHL to try to get more access. Yeah. Like they want that access in the locker room more. So he's like, you know, will the NHL give it to us? I don't know. He's not a part of that stuff.
Right. Right.
But he did tell me like we got postponed a day in recording because they were doing rehearsals for this new show that he's going to be hosting. And it kind of made me think like, yeah, for if you're tuning in, if you know, it's almost like NHL Tonight on the NHL Network. Like, you know, you're going to tune in, you're going to get the highlights for that day. And he's kind of, it seems like that's the type of show he's going to be hosting, among other things that he's going to be doing for him. So for NHL fans, I think if you're tuning in, you know, to a game or a show like that, that's NHL specific, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
And I think the concern will be on these, I don't know what else to call them, but like excess shows, like, you know, like they don't have First and 10 anymore on ESPN. I don't know, whatever the show with Bayless is. Well, Bayless isn't on there anymore.
Yeah.
Stephen A with Stephen A and Max Kellerman.
Well, Kellerman's gone now. So it's just Stephen A.
Kellerman's not there either.
Yeah. He just left the other day.
Really?
Yeah.
And I love how I called it First and 10. Dude, First and 10 hasn't been around for like 10 years.
Yeah, around the horn. But,
yeah. But like shows like that and the Wake Up Show, how those shows cover the NHL, that's going to be your TMZ style coverage, man. It just is. So that's where my concern is.
Yeah, but I'm fine with that if they kind of start out with fluff pieces and just build around that. And I think that's maybe what they're going to do, which is fine. Like I said, I think we're just going to, you know, you and I are quick to kind of criticize this kind of process just because we're the hardcore people when it comes to this kind of content. But I think we're not the only ones as well. A lot of hockey fans are skeptical considering, you know, what ESPN has done as of late in the last couple of years with hockey. So
What do you do? I think they got a good hockey squad to cover the sport.
Oh yeah, 100%.
You know, but those non-hockey people, are they going to treat it like what Stephen A has done? And some people find that funny, and you know, maybe in due time I will too, but I just felt like that was, you know, those couple things that he did just right off the bat. It's like, here we go. You know, we don't have to make a mockery of it. So I don't know. All right, let's get to a couple ads of the day and then let's talk about some free agents. So we have betonline.ag. And it is that time of year again, Mr. Denker. The football season is here after one more bye week, technically. And why not get in on some action at betonline.ag? It's your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. Get all the updated odds, props, and contests, including online's biggest $500,000 NFL mega contest and the world's largest $200,000 NFL Survivor Contest, open now at BetOnline. And be sure to take advantage of their opening day super promo, which is you make a bet on the Thursday, September 9th season opener between the Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Dallas Cowboys. And if you lose, your wager will be refunded up to $25. So basically, Dallas Cowboy fans, you can get $25 back on your bet. For new customers only when signing up and using the promo code NFL100. From football, basketball, boxing, hockey, right into your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait and take advantage of all the great offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Also got DirecTV Stream. And we want to tell you about a simple way to get all of the entertainment that you love without the hassle. It's DirecTV Stream. It brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, which means you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. And the best part, you don't know what the best part is, Denker?
What's the best part?
There's no annual contract.
Gotta love no annual contract.
It's a big deal. So stop waiting and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. And you can learn more at DirecTV.com. That is DirecTV.com. All right. Free agents. There's still some floating around and names that you know. We can just start throwing some guys out here. There's no real list that we're doing. We're just kind of, you know, looking at these names and I guess one, is it a surprise? Whatever player you mentioned is still a free agent, and two, will they sign eventually?
I'm going to just throw out this name because it's never, you know, and this, a lot of people are going to disagree with me on this, but this is Dano Chara. He's 44 years old.
Just hang him up.
He's got it. I don't know what he's waiting for. It's not like he needs the money, or maybe he does. Who knows? Maybe he has like a Yamir Yager situation where he's trying to keep a team afloat. But I don't know. You saw he kind of didn't really have that much left in the tank his last year with Boston, and then last year he's just a minutes eater. That's all he is. He's just a body to put out there on the ice. Really, at this point in his career, that's all he does. He's not going to contribute points that much. He's going to kill. He's going to be on the PK, and that's pretty much it. And I don't see any team that's going to sign him right now and it's going to want to waste a roster spot and cap space on him just for some sort of sense of nostalgia, even if it is Boston or some other team. But who knows? Maybe Lou Amarillo is thinking a reunion between Chara and the Islanders is in the cards for this offseason. But what are your opinions on that? Because I'm a very critical I'm very critical when it comes to Chara just as a player in general, but so maybe I'm a little biased, but what about you?
I mean, he's never been my favorite player, but I mean, for what he can do, is somebody looking for that? Yeah. And it's just, do you, I mean, when you sign a guy who's 44 years old, production drops off a cliff. You know what I mean? So, and they're not looking for him to score points. You're looking for him. He's a big dude. He's going to be a big dude the rest of his life.
Yeah.
So, you know, he can be a physical guy, but when you're 44 going on 45, when you throw a hit, are you going to need a hip replacement, you know, the following day? So, I mean, he averaged over 18 minutes a game. So, and let's see, it says he led the Capitals in shorthanded ice time. Like you said, you're going to be on the penalty kill. You know, if you're a team that's got offensive firepower on the blue line and you just need one of those guys, yeah, go take a shot. He's not going to cost you a lot. So go take a shot at him, but that's going to be a big ask for people. And I think the number one thing why he needs to sign with the team, and I didn't know this, that he is currently sitting on 666 career points. You can't end your career with a 666. That's not good.
But here's my thing is that a guy like that, who's, he's been a captain in Boston and, you know, a leader for many years in the NHL, but really is a guy like that at this point in his career, humble enough to go to another team and say, I don't mind playing on the third line? Because think about it. If you're bringing him to a place like Vancouver, are you really going to put him on the first line with Quinn Hughes?
No.
Or if you bring him into Colorado, you're going to put him on the first defensive pairing with Cal McCarr?
No. Yeah. And that's a good point. Like, where's his head at? Is he understanding of that? You would have to think he is.
Does he think it's 2021 or does he think it's 2011?
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm not, you know, I don't follow the, you know, the daily goings on of Zdeno Chara, but you would have to think he's smart enough to know that, look, I'm 44 years old. I'm not that guy. Yeah. I can still be on the ice for a good amount of time. And for a third pairing guy, if you know he's healthy, why not?
Yeah. Why would give him a shot? I would only sign him for the veteran minimum for a third line pairing. And
yeah,
I would make that abundantly clear when,
yeah,
when you sit down with him and his agent. So
it'd be interesting. Do you think he gets signed?
I would say there are teams, like you said, that are looking for a guy like this. As to who and where, it's really up in the air, because like I said, I don't know what team is going to want to spend cap space where you need every little cent, with the way the cap is these days. And mm-hmm. with roster spots, are you going to give it to a 44-year-old defenseman who really his skating ability has kind of deteriorated over the last couple of years, or are you going to give it to a defenseman in his 20s who is still, you know, tuning out his game? So
we shall, or could it be one of those things where he's not signed at the season opener and some team who gets into some injury trouble signs him a little bit later?
I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah. It would have to be a team that thinks that they're a contender, I think, would go for a acquisition like that.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Who else you got? Who's on this list here?
Devin Dubnyk. Let's talk about your guy, Devin Dubnyk.
Why is he my guy? Because he played one game for me. Like, he's
exactly. He's your guy. Forever yours.
Yeah. My Dubnyk jersey is on back order. I'm a little surprised he hasn't signed on with somebody yet. I am. I don't. You know, he's not going to be your starter. You know what the Avalanche wanted with him. I don't think they utilized him as much as they thought they would. You know, needing a backup goalie, and they only used him for a couple of games, and he didn't see the playoffs at all. And that's not a knock on him. That's just Grubauer was finally healthy. Yeah, I'm a little surprised, like, cause you know me, I like the tandem goalie situations, and I'm surprised there's not a single team out there, that needs to maybe shore up their backup goalie situation. I would absolutely, if I'm a team that does not have that set, that does not have that backup goalie set, I would absolutely look in Dubnyk's direction.
Yeah, I'm surprised as well that he's still kind of on the free agent block. The one team that comes to mind that has been looking to move one of their goaltenders and can definitely probably pick him up as a midseason signing is probably Columbus, because they made it no secret last year that they're looking to either move Korpisalo or Mezeklas. So I could see him kind of fitting in real nicely as the backup there in Columbus, where there's really no pressure to win now that Seth Jones is gone, and you know, you have Patrick Laine, who's still kind of figuring things out there, and a new coach coming in. So I think that would be a good situation for him, being where he is at his career now.
What about Zach Parise?
I don't know. I really don't know. He's going to have to lower his expectations in terms of salary. I think this was a move that was him leaving Minnesota. I think that was something that was bound to happen, regardless of the way it happened.
Right.
But I could see, and I brought this up before, Lamoriello, because he loves his Devils guys. He loves them. So if he doesn't get signed right now, I could definitely see him being signed at a later date in the season, possibly going to Long Island.
Yeah. And most of these guys we're talking about, I think, you know, that's the rub on them is the age.
Yeah.
You know, with the exception, you know, Chara is head and shoulders above everybody else. But, you know, you're looking at guys like Parise, who's 37. Dubnyk is 35. Who else is on this list? James Neal, 33.
He's still got a little left in the tank.
Yeah. Eric Staal, 36. So that's what you're getting. I mean, you're getting veterans. You know, teams need veterans. But, you know, that's the thing. Like, some of these names are big names. And, like, even with Parise, like, the contract that is no longer on the table for him, does he want that? Does he want, you know, as close to that as possible? Teams are not willing to go there.
Yeah. One of the names that's really surprising to me is Sammy Vantanen. I'm shocked that he's still not signed to a team. He's 30 years old. He was talked about the last two trade deadlines as a guy who was going to get moved at the deadline. And I'm shocked that he's not on an NHL team right now. As for who he's going to go to, I think it goes back to needs. If you see an injury in training camp or in the first couple of weeks of the season, I think Vantanen is going to definitely get his number.
Yeah, I think so. I definitely think so. So, I mean, there's a lot there. There's still some, and we got a little bit of time, so it's not like, you know, the season starting next week. But, you know, you might start seeing one here, one there, and teams who are kind of like standing back saying, like, where could we fit in a veteran? And I, you know, there's a bunch of teams that you know, will always go a veteran route for multiple reasons. And there's some really good guys left. I think it just comes down to both things which you want in a contract. It comes down to term and it comes down to dollars.
Yeah.
It's tough to really go term on these guys, with the exception of Vantanen, because he's only 30. But even him, you don't want to do a six-year deal with that. You know what I mean? Because you don't know what you're going to get. So it's, you know, these one-year deals, but do these guys want to sign that, and for what amount?
Yeah.
We shall see.
We shall.
So, all right. Let's hear from Built Bar, and then I'm going to give you an offer sheet. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar on the market. And did you know that Built Bar has so many delicious flavors that there is literally something for everyone? And when you talk to Built Bar fans, they are passionate about their favorites. And if you haven't tried them, get on that wagon and you can find your favorite flavor. Picking from flavors such as coconut, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, and the list goes on and on. And if you haven't tried them all, you can get a mixed box, or you will get two of each of 9 flavors. So not only are Built Bar flavors the best tasting, but they are healthy. They have 17 to 18 grams of protein. Calories range from 130 to 180, 4 to 5 grams of sugar, 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. Amazing flavors, all tasty and all healthy. And when you go to builtbar.com, use the promo code LOCKED15. You get 15% off of your order. So again, that promo code is LOCKED15 off at builtbar.com. Okay, offer sheet time. This is like must watch TV for me right now. We another day has gone by. Kotkaniemi is still offer sheeted by Carolina. No movement from Montreal. I guess we'll just start with that and then kind of just go into offer sheets overall. You good?
We're good.
Do you think Montreal matches this?
No, I think that this is probably the best situation Bergeron could have asked for. He's looking to kind of get a little bit younger, even though KK is not that old at all. No. He's still a very young player, but just with some of the young players that the Montreal Canadiens want to bring up from their system this year, it seems like that there wasn't going to be a spot in this lineup for KK. So I think that him going down to Carolina is probably the best thing for him. And he gets to play on a team that has a better chance of contending down the road. Whereas Montreal, I feel like right now we could probably classify them as a one hit wonder just because I don't
think. You think so?
They made good progress the year prior in the bubble by beating Pittsburgh, but I feel like everybody was off coming out of 3-4 months of not playing hockey. Whereas kind of now you kind of seen them take a step, but it's not that they went to the Cup Finals, is that can they keep building upon that success?
Yeah.
So I think that's
I think they were a team on the rise. They were much improved. Yeah. And the fact that they made the Stanley Cup final, now teams are like, okay, now we're gunning for you. So maybe they do take a step back, but I still think they're going to be a competitive team. I don't think they should match this. I really don't. And no. I think, you know, Carolina doing it for the reasons that they did it. Maybe they're thinking like, you know, this is funny. And for that, and it kind of a way it is, but, if they end up with him, I think long-term, this is not good because now you're giving up a first and a third. So you're going to be without a first round pick for next year. And if you're Montreal, you can do a lot with that.
Yeah.
You can just turn right around, package those picks and go get another player to replace him. That, you know, it is, and you're immediately better off. You know what I mean? So yeah. It's not the worst thing in the world for Montreal to not match this.
No, I think that it's also, yeah, like you said, I was shocked when it came out that Carolina even made an offer to him in the first place. But that had to do, if I believe, with the whole Sebastian Aho situation.
Right.
They did the same. I think that Carolina is, can you rescind? Now, here's the thing. Can you rescind an offer sheet once you've offered it to a player? Because do you think
that's a good question?
Because do you think Carolina did this to be funny without not taking into consideration that Montreal was not going to match it? And now they're basically stuck with him. Which is a bad thing. He's a very talented young player.
Exactly. But. Exactly. That's a very good question. See, I can find that up real quick, but, I don't know because the player has to agree to that, but that doesn't mean a team can't back out of it. I don't know. Let me look it up quick, but offer sheets in general. This seems to be the issue when a team or a player gets an offer sheet. And people look at it as, you know, this is how dare you. First of all, it's within the rules. So there's nothing wrong with it. But stuff like this happens. Offer sheets have become now like a vehicle for teams going after one another rather than the player having some control and saying like, I'm not getting anywhere with you. I'm going to go somewhere else and find it. And if there's someone else that wants to give it to me, then now I'm forcing your hand. But we don't look at it that way anymore. We look at it as teams bickering back and forth. And, you know, like I said, how dare you give my player an offer? Well, you're not signing that player. You're maybe you're not. I mean, there could be a team that just day one gives someone an offer sheet. Then, okay, I get your argument. But he hasn't been signed. And why hasn't he been signed? Because he can't come to a term or an agreement with Montreal. Why doesn't he have the right to then go find somebody else to give him that offer? Which, number one, he can go there if you don't want to match it. And if you do want him that bad, then you can match it.
Yeah.
I'm okay with offer sheets. I really am. For many reasons. One, because they're entertaining to see this bickering back and forth. But it gives the player some ground where they don't have a lot at you know, certain ages.
Yeah, I think it's – and it definitely, going back to what you said, it makes things interesting. I think this is what the kind of drama that the league needs going into a new TV deal. Right. Hopefully it's a little bit of a shame that ESPN isn't doing more about this, because they, knowing ESPN, how they do certain storylines with the NBA, I'm sure that they could turn this into a sort of a dramatized event on the morning segments. But yeah, I'm still shocked that what day did you say we're in? We're almost at 7 days. I believe, is it Friday?
I think it's Sunday.
Okay, so
I think it's Sunday.
Yeah, so we're recording this Wednesday night, and I'm shocked. I really thought at first that Montreal was going to come back right away and be like, no, this is our guy. And I think at this point, and it kind of sucks for KK, because at this point, if, let's say, the Canadians do eventually come out with a match, mm-hmm. Now you're kind of thinking, what took you guys so long?
Right.
So, you know, then he's going to have to kind of deal with that up until, you know, he becomes a UFA.
I don't know. Let's see what happens when a player signs an offer sheet. Player must give his team notice 7 days, whatever. If matched, the player remains with the team under the terms of the offer sheet he signed. And that's the other thing. Like, from what I've heard, Montreal was only offering him less than $3 million per year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, again, why would he not, if he found another team that's going to offer him six, and the team that you're currently negotiating with is offering you 2 to 3? So, I mean, it just so happens that, yeah, there is some revenge qualities going on here. And that's where the rub is with this. But this is going to happen again. Maybe not with these two teams. That's why teams don't do offer sheets. And I think that's so petty. It's so petty. I get it, but it's petty. If you're so upset that another team came in and wants to steal your player, go sign your damn player.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I don't have a lot of sympathy for Montreal or anything right now. I don't know. I'm trying to see if...
I don't get the sense that a lot of Montreal fans are broken up about this situation either.
No, I would take a first, and the first is going to be likely later round.
Yeah,
but so what? Next year's draft is going to be very, very deep. Next year's draft is looking really good. So you're going to have 2 first-round picks if you want to hang on to it. If you don't, you can turn around. I mean, you seem to be in play for Eichel. Turn around and give a first, whatever your package is for him right now, if you have one to Buffalo, throw in a first and a third, which you didn't have 24 hours ago.
Yeah.
Sweeten the pot a little bit.
Now, is that Montreal's aim right now? Are they thinking, let's just let this guy walk because we get that draft pick and then we just package that off for Eichel? I didn't even think about that.
Eichel or a different center. Isn't Kakanemia, he's a center, right? Yeah, he's a center.
Yeah.
Or go find another team that's looking to trade. They will give you a good center for a first and a third. Maybe you got to give him a prospect or something like that if you want a better centerman. But it's not the worst thing right now. And he's not a guy that's, like, you know, going to turn your franchise around this year. So I don't think Montreal matches this, in my opinion. So that's where we're at.
I think I agree with you. I don't think they put in a offer. So
we'll see as the offer sheet turns. So, yeah. All right. That will be it for today. A couple weeks and we got training camps, man. I can't wait. So, where can people find Mr. Danky Dank, if you're not watching on the YouTube, where our Twitter handles are right on the screen.
You could find the show on Twitter at LO underscore lightning. You could give me a follow at Danky Dank, DenkyDNK. Give the show a follow at Instagram at LO underscore. No, it's locked on underscore lightning. Wow. Got a lot of great content. We, like I said before, we have interviews with Kenny Albert, Ross Colton most recently, and in the process of getting more Lightning players on the pod. So keep an eye out for that.
All right. Bad choice of attire, by the way, too.
And yeah.
NBA sweater on an NHL shirt. I'll let it pass this time, but you know.
I'll wear a Tom Brady shirt next time.
Oh, no. I have the ability to black you out, so that would happen. Yeah, and if you want to follow the Locked On Avalanche podcast, LOPN underscore Avalanche, and my personal Twitter handle is on there as well. I don't feel like telling you because it's kind of a cluster to explain what all of that is, but there it is if you're watching on the YouTube. So, and that's going to be it for today, everybody. Thank you for tuning in as always. And we'll be back next Thursday, 1 week closer to training camp. If anything happens between now and then, we will be talking about it. So
see you.
See you, everybody.